Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I want to emphasize that the Asia-Pacific region is absolutely critical to America's economic growth. We consider it a top priority. When I meet with world leaders, what's striking, whether it's in Europe or here in Asia?
Well, our leader of the free world, Obama, thinks that Hawaii's in Asia. Now everyone's attacking Kane for making some flubs, but of course they let him get away with it because the government media complex is owned. It's a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat National Committee, as you well know, which is why they would hire Hillary Clinton to put her on NBC and say that she'll be neutral. She was as neutral. She will be as neutral as Tim Russert was, which is not saying very much. So as Mr. and Mrs. Lord of the Fries is in Hawaii, are in Hawaii, and Mr. Herman Cain doesn't know where Libya is, and Romney doesn't know where this is, and Obama doesn't know where that is. This is what's going on in the world. Nancy Pelosi says that 60 Minutes, CBS, is now a right-wing hit group because they dared expose her in the Visa insider trading scam. She has now declared CBS a member of the vast right-wing conspiracy. All I can say is to CBS reporters, if you may be listening to The Savage Nation, as I know many of you are in New York, especially on WR, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the right-wing conspiracy. You have now been made an honorary member by Nancy Pelosi. At the same time, we've got radical communists in the streets of America under the guise of, well, I don't know what they claim they are, but the Occupy groups are nakedly communist street mobs. At this time, they are not violent. They will become violent. They always do. The fact of the matter is they were funded by George Soros and the Tides Foundation. There is a trail of money running right back into the Tides Foundation in the organizing and Soros in the seed funding for this insanity. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute, Mike. I agree with a lot of what you say. You can analyze things pretty clearly. But why would a multi-billionaire like George Soros want communism to rise in the West? It doesn't make sense. Well, here's what you don't understand. Notice who the targets are of the Occupy groups. It's bankers. It's Goldman Sachs. It's Jamie Dimon and others. They never mention George Soros. The banks are the targets of the vermin in the street, the useful idiots, when it's the hedge funds actually who destroyed America's economy. It wasn't really the banks. It was the hedge funds that did it. It was the hedge funds that did it. It was the Managed Funds Association that did it, not the banks. And that's why a guy like Soros would throw them off, because he's that smart. He didn't become a billionaire by being stupid. He knows how to take people and deflect them from the true targets of their wrath. Now, what do these vermin in the gutters actually want? You don't understand how dangerous this is. But I've been a student of anti-communism my entire life because my grandfather fled communism in Russia. He fled the Bolsheviks. He knows what Bolshevism brought to Russia. I know what Bolshevism brought to Russia. I know what Pol Pot brought to Cambodia. I know what the North Vietnamese did to the 1 million people they slaughtered in South Vietnam after the radical vermin left, the intergenerational scum that's in the streets are basically their descendants. They killed 1 million people in South Vietnam after the communist hordes took over South Vietnam. So what do these rats want? Here it is. I didn't make any of this up. One, they want to repeal the Taft-Hartley Act. They want all workers in America unionized. That means every worker in America should be a member of a union. That's why the unions are supporting them. That is why the unions have funded them. That is why the unions are on their side. Raise the minimum wage immediately to $18 an hour. Now, if you are a small business, Could you afford an $18 an hour minimum wage? They want to institute a six-hour workday and 6 weeks of paid vacation. Now, the people who have that are in Greece and Italy. As you well know, their economies have collapsed. We could not afford a six-hour workday and 6 weeks of paid vacation. But the fools in the streets don't understand that a business must sustain itself through profit. If it has no profit, it can't sustain itself. Okay, shall I go on? Repeal English-only laws. They call them racist and xenophobic. They're now turning on the American citizen who speaks English and calling you a racist and xenophobic if you speak English. Next, they want open all the borders to all immigrants, legal or illegal. Offer immediate unconditional amnesty to all undocumented illegal aliens in the United States. Would you like that? Would you like all illegal aliens made into citizens? They do. Create a single-payer universal health care system. Tax the very rich at rates up to 90%. Allow workers to elect their supervisors. Lower the retirement age to 55. Create a 5% annual wealth tax for the very rich. Wait, here's the best. Are you ready for this? The vermin in the gutters, the tent sleepers, the sex addicts, the drug addicts say, and it's in writing, ban the private ownership of land. I've never seen that anything like this since the Communist Revolution of 1917. Ban the private ownership of land. Do you understand that your sympathies are wrong if you're on their side? Next, make homeschooling illegal. Religious fanatics use it to feed their children propaganda. This is the very opposite of the reality. Homeschooling is used by people who don't want their children brainwashed by the public schools. Abolish the death penalty, they say, and abolish life in prison. We call for the immediate release of all death row inmates from death row. Release all political prisoners immediately. There are none. There are no political prisoners in America. Abolish the debt limit. Ban private gun ownership. Did you hear that? Did that put a chill up your spine? Immediate debt forgiveness for all. All debt should be wiped out in America. And end the war on drugs. Now, I would say to you that if I try to analyze some of this, it would make no sense. What they're saying is get rid of the Constitution and implement totalitarian communism. Do you understand what you're dealing with here? Do you have any idea that we're dealing with a communist revolution in America ever since Obama was engineered into the White House, and that this is part and parcel of his election, his re-election campaign? Why do you think the Lord of the Fries is in Hawaii right now? Why do you think Mrs. Lord of the Fries is in Hawaii right now saying, let them eat steak and arugula? I'll eat steak, I'll eat fries, but you should eat arugula. I could ask you to call a show, but there's nothing that you could say that is worth saying that I haven't said. I mean, I'm not knocking you. The man says here in Asia while speaking at a press conference in Hawaii. In itself, it's nothing. It's a slip of the tongue. But since everything Herman Cain says is scrutinized and criticized, you'd think some of the geniuses at the midstream media would say the president made a gaffe. They won't say it. They will not ever point out the fact that not only does the king have no clothes, the king has no brain. The call for a six-hour workday, 6 weeks of vacation and retirement at 55, doesn't that reinforce the popular image of OWS as a heap of lazy bums? Why don't they add free dope for all and Nintendo for all, too? How's that? Can you imagine this? Who are these people? Who are these people? These demands are no different than the demands of the Bolsheviks during the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 in Russia. These tactics have been tried through and through over the past 100 years in Europe, North America, South America, Australia, and Africa. Don't you understand what's going on here? Nobody born after 1980 can honestly remember communist Russia, and that's because the socialist machine that operates our National Educational Association and other elements of the government promotes socialism's lie that Russia was a classless society, when in fact, there actually were two classes which existed in the former Soviet Union. There were Communist Party members who had, and the proletariat who had nothing, very much like what's happening in America today. These very same tactics were tried during the early 20th century. Most of you don't know this because your schools have not taught this to you. Research Seattle in the early 1900s. Research Boston in the early 1900s. Research what happened when all the soldiers returned home from World War I and the unemployment rate skyrocketed. This is not about the rich screwing the little guy. This is about the law of supply and demand. When there is more demand, the cost of the limited supply will go up. And when the supply is much higher than there is demand, the cost goes down. Only private businesses create jobs. Government creates nothing. Nothing whatsoever. So let's do the math. If you want to do the minimum wage, redo the minimum wage to $18 an hour, let's analyze what that would be. So let's say that a loaf of bread normally costs 15 cents per loaf to make, based on today's economy, based on $10 per hour wage. Baking 1,000 loaves of bread would then cost $150 in labor costs alone. 1,000 loaves of bread may take 4 hours to complete from start to finish. If it takes five laborers in the production of 1,000 loaves of bread from start to finish, then at the proposed minimum wage increase to $18 an hour by the vermin in the gutters of Wall Street, baking 1,000 loaves of bread would then cost $360 in labor costs alone. 1,000 loaves of bread may take 4 hours to complete from start to finish. If it takes five laborers in the production of 1,000 loaves of bread from start to finish, those same 1,000 loaves of bread would now cost the manufacturing baker 36 cents per loaf to make. So the cost to produce each loaf would more than double. So you say, well, that's nothing. It's only 36 cents per loaf. Okay, that's not a big deal. Shall I go on? Well, keeping all things equal, let's say that all costs are equal and rise by the same 58%. The ingredients to produce those 1,000 loaves of bread go from 12 cents per loaf to 19 cents per loaf. 36%, 36 cents labor plus 19 cents for ingredients is now 55 cents per loaf. Marketing the bread in order to sell those loaves to retailers will go from 3 cents per loaf to 5 cents per loaf. Shipping those 1,000 loaves to the various distribution warehouses or directly to retailers will go from an 8 cents a loaf of bread to 13 cents per loaf of bread. The manufacturing baker would mark up the product by 200% to cover possible unexpected costs. So the original total cost to produce 1,000 loaves of bread is now how much? How much is it now with the $18 an hour wage? It's now up to $1.46 per loaf. Now, at the retail level, the original cost of 76 cents per loaf to the retailer is now $1.46 per loaf. Now, the retailer has to make a profit to keep his lights on and pay his employees, right? So they pass their costs on to you, the buyer. So they'll mark the product up another 200% to cover its unexpected costs and make a small profit. So when the $10 an hour worker who makes $40 for 4 hours worth of work can take those 4 hours worth of wages and purchase 26 loaves of bread at the original market price of $1.52, right? But the $18 per hour worker who makes $72 for 4 hours worth of work can take those 4 hours worth of wages and purchase 24 loaves of bread at the increased market price of $2.92. So I'm showing you one thing. These socialist demands are a complete and total insanity and will do more harm to society and produce starvation than leaving people to compete and innovate so that true wealth and prosperity can be available for those of us who pursue it. By the way, all of the above does not include any taxes in the equation. And if you think the Soviet Union provided more food for more people, you don't know what went on in the Soviet Union. Do you remember the pictures of the empty butcher shops with one bologna hanging from the ceiling? Or people waiting online for 3 days to buy a loaf of bread? That's what will happen if you start to control wages and you don't control and you start to control wages and profit. I'll be right back.
Savage.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man?
Well, the geriatric hippies are at it again. They're behind the scenes egging on the young drug addicts who majored in puppetry at NYU. And since there are no jobs in puppetry and it's hard to get a job as Steven Spielberg when they come out of NYU Film School, why, the next best thing is to stay stoned all day in a dirty park and see if they can get lucky that way. Since they can't afford the price of a drink in a New York bar, all they got to do is lay in a tent and hope some loser, you know, lays down next to them. It's all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It always has been. It's communism, however, behind it. We have the proof. Tides Foundation, George Soros. If you want to spend the time reading it, I posted it on my website. Most of you won't read it, but let's take the calls anyway. Tucson, Arizona, we'll start with you. Gabriel, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I understand why you would have your opinions on the movement if you just watch the media, but I'm a fiscal conservative and a moral conservative.
Right, I don't care what you say you are, sir. I don't have my opinions based upon watching the media. I read to you the list of OWS demands. Didn't you hear any of them?
Yes, sir. And there's a movement within the movement to really unify our message to one of being against corruption in business. Corruption.
Wait, we're all against. Wait, we're all against corruption in business. Are you against the ownership of land, the private ownership of land?
Oh no, sir.
Are you against private gun ownership?
No.
Well, wait a minute. So how could you be a member of the Occupy Wall Street group? This is their manifesto.
I understand that. The thing that unifies us is our desire to see the truth revealed, to take care of the corruption in business, in the media, and in...
Wait. You're talking in generalities. It says repeal the Taft-Hartley Act, unionize all workers immediately. Do you think that would be good for America if all workers were forced to join a corrupt union?
I don't think that would be a good idea, but I'm not an expert.
Well, let's go down the list. Since you are calling a national show in support of the vermin in the gutters, telling us that all they want is corruption to be ended, and that you read their manifesto and it calls for elimination of private property, elimination of the Second Amendment, granting amnesty to all illegal aliens, freeing all people from death row. Do you or do you not agree with any of those points?
They're honestly not many that I would agree with, because they're very divisive things. The thing that unifies us is our desire to stop corruption.
All right, so wait a minute. Okay, let's start with that. We all want corruption to end. I've been talking about it ever since I started in radio. How do you feel about Nancy Pelosi and the others in Congress? Insider trading, selling Visa stock, buying Visa stock, making a profit while ruling on such things or not ruling on them. Does that bother you?
It makes me upset. And that's coming from a guy who's never, ever traded anything on the stocks. I don't think it's fair.
How do you feel about General Electric, which owns NBC and your channel, MSNBC, not paying any federal income taxes on their earnings? Does that bother you?
It makes me upset that the Obama
administration... Gabrielle, they list the people that they would like to see indicted. They name them. They say this one from Goldman Sachs, that one from that bank, but they don't name Jeffrey Immelt of General Electric. Don't you understand who's behind all of this? Don't you understand you're a useful idiot, that you're being used by George Soros to deflect your attention from the hedge fund operators who busted the economy and put Obama in office? You don't understand. You're a useful idiot. Lenin told us about you, and I don't mean John.
Savage. They call me the Wanderer.
Native American summer has rained again. Cool, cold nights, 49 degrees. Kind of a little hot during the day. Put the top down on the convertible. Took a ride with the dog. Teddy loves the convertible. I guess he would now be a target of the Occupy Wall Street people. They would probably roast him for enjoying a convertible ride on a nice day before his boss goes to work. After all, he's a bourgeois pig dog. I mean, maybe a 10-pound poodle and all, but for the sake of the revolution, he'd have to be killed. I mean, that's the way it was done in the past. Pets such as this were killed in front of the eyes of the owners. In other words, you can't have bourgeois pets like that. Only pets approved by the Occupy Wall Street Bolsheviks would be permitted. I don't know what they might be. Perhaps the type of pets they had in Zucchini Park, rats and lice, would be permitted, I suppose. How do you feel about the eviction of Occupy Wall Street protesters from the New York City Park? One, it was a violation of their constitutional rights to peaceful protest, or they were squatting in a public park and needed to go. Well, what would you think? Well, Alan Levine, a lawyer for the demonstrating vermin, Alan Levine said they had a free speech right to remain in the square. But city lawyer Sherry Neufeld said the demonstrators have a right to express themselves, but it doesn't mean that they have a right to appropriate this private space for themselves. The protesters took over the park for their own use, she said. So where do you stand on any of this? The rats have finally been driven out. Now the rats are taking to the subways. Now, how come these rats have no jobs? Why are these rats not working? You know they're not poor. Many of these rats live in Queens and Brooklyn with their parents. They squat in their parents' houses because they majored in puppetry in college and they can't get a job. And so now they're provoking the police. One of them, of course, is screaming about police brutality after another. Let's take the callers. Lisa in Mississippi, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, how are you, Lionel? I got a question about how do you control, without giving the government more power, how do you control the corruption in the corporate hierarchy?
Wait. What do you mean? Wait, let's stop. You mean there's no corruption in the government?
Oh, no, there is. You have to be slimy to be a politician, don't you?
Well, you're asking a question with a, answering a question with a question. You just said, how do you control corruption in corporations, assuming that all corporations are corrupt? Why would you make that assumption?
Well, just for example, all of these corporate bigwigs who get to retire with these fat packages after the government gives them bailout money.
See, you're speaking in kind of ignorant generalities, as though all corporate leadership is corrupt and all corporations are corrupt. How can you make such a blanket statement?
I don't mean to make a blanket statement.
So what is it you're saying? How do you control those corrupt individuals and corporations? They used to be publicly traded companies that were controlled by the stockholders. That's up to the stockholders to control, not for you. If you don't own any shares of the company, you have no voice in that company. I mean, why should you, as a citizen who owns no stock in a company, have any input on that company's compensation or such? Why should you have any voice in it?
I see.
Why don't you have a voice in the corruption in your own state? You're in Mississippi. Is that a state free of corruption?
Absolutely not.
All right. So how about beginning with your own state? How about your own county? How about your own town? How about the pensions in the town that you live in Mississippi? Have you looked at the pensions in your own town? Have you seen what the politicians in your little town in Mississippi are going to be getting when they retire? Don't you understand that the corruption is not within the corporation structure itself? It's within certain corporations, but it is endemic in the government itself. Thank you for the call. Okay, what would you like to talk about? Where are the celebrities in all of this? Where are all of the loudmouth drunks and sluts and satyrs? Why are they saying nothing about it? Why are the satyrs and infomaniacs suddenly silent? Is it because they're afraid that they'll be seen for what they are by the OWS group? I haven't seen any of these sluts and satyrs in the park, by the way. Only one of the fools went down there, that idiot. Perhaps the worst actor in American history, Alec Baldwin. Perhaps the most insanely untalented man in the history of the screen. Alec Baldwin went down there with a cup of coffee and made believe he was down with them. And then, of course, there was Fatso Michael Moore, who pretended he was part of the oppressed. And thank God Drudge ran a picture of his house on the lake in Michigan for all the world to see what a liar he is, a big fat liar. There's a man who's a walking cheeseburger. This man is the very thing that he epitomizes. He's the epitome of everything he says he isn't. He bashes fat food, fatty foods, and fast food, and he eats it. And he actually looks like a cheeseburger with eyes. So what can I tell you? Teddy, thank God I have the dog. He's sleeping next to me during the show. He knows it'll be over eventually. He knows the top will go down. We'll put on our hats. We'll take another ride tonight. We'll watch television. We'll eat. And we'll go to sleep and we'll wake up again tomorrow and pray that America's still here. And, of course, by then we will rest peacefully knowing that Mr. and Mrs. Lord of the Fries are now safely in Indonesia, in Bali, enjoying a rice table dinner with the leadership of Indonesia. While telling you to eat healthful vegetables, they will be dining on something other than vegetables. As you well know, let them eat cake was an adage of the French Revolution. Very similar to what's going on here in America. Kansas City, Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I couldn't resist not calling you, telling you about my experiences with communism. I was over in Russia a while back. This is quite some time ago. And the lady I had, you know, of course, when the maid would come in to clean the room in the morning, she would see that I had some clothes. And she offered herself to me for my jeans. My point is, there's nothing over there. Communism provides no goods and services. And so she was willing to give me herself to get my clothes.
Well, it's like Cuba under Castro right now.
Exactly.
Why do you think so many liberals go to Cuba? You think they want to be in solidarity with the sugarcane workers? They're getting young girls for $20 a pop in the island paradise of Cuba.
Yeah, that's where
the girls are starving to death. The girls are starving to death in Cuba. And for a Coca-Cola and $20, you could have anybody that you want in Cuba.
Right.
Well, you see, the problem is that the schools are rife with communists who have brainwashed an entire generation of stupid people who are now thinking that communism could have worked if it wasn't for evil capitalism. Even China has abandoned communism. With regard to their economy, China is almost more capitalistic country than we are. You know that?
Yes.
Do you know that they have almost more freedom to do business in China than we do here? I'll give you an example. I went to a Japanese restaurant today for takeout food where I live. I pulled up in the car. I called it in. So I asked him about takeout food. You know, he has a certain meal. I got the salmon teriyaki. Then there was a dish that he shows as a special, which had a lot more stuff in it for lunch for the same price. It had three or four different beautiful things. I said, could I get that? He said, no, that's not to go. It's for here. So I said to the owner, that's a shame it's not to go. That's amazing food. He said, there's no profit in it. I said, what do you mean there's no profit in it? He said, the cost of the green containers, which the county of Marin insisted upon, has made it impossible for us to make a profit. I said, what do those green containers cost? He said, 75 cents per green takeout container, which is then thrown in the garbage can. So I said to him, these laws are passed by fools in the county of Marin, by the way, which typifies the worst in America, who have never worked a day in their lives. These are morons who went to college and took courses in such things as public policy and such. They haven't the slightest idea what it is to open a business, turn on the lights, turn on the gas, buy the food, pay the cook, et cetera, et cetera, pay the waiter, et cetera, and still make a profit. They don't have any idea. So they impose one a price upon the owner after another until it becomes almost impossible to do business, which is why we have creeping socialism in America. 1-800-449-8255. I don't think you want to talk about this because I could see already it's dead in the water. Who do you think will make the best GOP presidential candidate? Oh, no, don't call me, please. I don't want the Ron Paul callers. Please don't do it. Please don't do that. I shouldn't have done that. I know I'm going to get flooded now with the Ron Paul fanatics or the Kane fanatics. That's over. And Libya was the end of him. I'm sorry I supported him. Poor, he didn't know where Libya was. I mean, it was awful. Did you hear what happened with Kane in Libya? I love the guy. I'd love him to run something, but listen to four.
So you agreed with President Obama on Libya or not?
Okay, Libya.
Ugh.
President Obama supported.
All right, Fartik over. Next case. Toast. Correct. Toast. Done toast. Finished. That's it. That's it. I'm sorry. I mean, I could like a guy. Doesn't mean he has to be president. Finished. It's over. Old German, Fartik, next case. Let's move on. .me. Didn't even know where Libya was. Next, 05.
Mr. Kane, do you think Olivia comment reinforced?
Yeah, let us walk through. Let us walk through.
You don't have a thorough understanding of foreign
policy.
Let's
walk through.
999.
See, that's what the German woman said to him, we heard, on a tour. That's where that joke came from. He was repeating what a German woman said to him, 999. But you confuse that with a tax policy. I love Herman Cain. I would gladly sit down with him. But that's it. It's over. Didn't know where Libya was and couldn't. What are we going to talk about? What's there to talk about? Where do we turn now? We have nobody to believe in. There's nobody to believe in except me. I believe only in myself at this point. I have no faith in you. I have no faith in anybody in the world except myself. I mean, you ask a guy about Libya and he says nine, like a robotic, nine, nine, nine. It sounded almost like a okay, I look, it's not a stand-up comedy routine, but I can really get into that one. I'd rather save my sarcasm for Barack Obama. But already that's been done to death, so why talk about it anymore? Occupy Zucchini, Occupy Red State, Blue State, blah, 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 New York Stock Exchange, Casey Anthony, Michael Jackson, Wall Street, Eastwood, blah, blah, blah. That movie died. The Eastwood movie's finished. He may have to come back and do a Western. I mean, after doing this hit piece on J. Edgar Hoover, like so boring, I heard. I haven't seen it. I'm not going to go see it. I don't like that actor's politics. I'll never go to the movie. I like Eastwood's politics, allegedly. I don't know what his politics are, but I can't stand the guy who plays. Who's playing J. Edgar Hoover in that movie? He's a loudmouth liberal retard. Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio. No, I'm not watching that movie. I will not watch that. Anything he's in, I will never watch. Why was he bashing a great FBI director? Judge upholds eviction. Rules OWS vermin can't return to Zucchini Park with tents and overnight gear. Sandusky says yes, he showered with boys. and he liked touching their legs. But did you see this one? This is I try to avoid this one. I'd rather talk about Fast and Furious and how much Eric Holder knew and when he knew it and why he's still in the office of the attorney generalship is amazing. Amazing. But with a little help from the media throwing smoke in our eyes, we can talk about Herman Cain and 999. How about catching with the microphones outside Eric Holder's office saying, when exactly did you know guns were killing people in Mexico? When exactly did you know that the machine guns you were smuggling killed a Border Patrol agent, Mr. Holder? Okay. So Sandusky, the former Penn State assistant coach, says he had a positive impact on kids' lives. He said he's falsely accused. And by the way, in America, you're innocent until proven guilty. But he did admit that he liked touching them and he liked showering with them. He had some interview with some guy. This guy, if you look at a frontal of this guy, he's frightening. This guy, you know, you look at a picture, a frontal of him, those eyes are eerie, the Sandusky picture. Sandusky said he is not a pedophile, but did admit to horsing around with kids. Whenever you hear horsing around, all right, with the whistle around, all right, get them shorts off, get in the pool. I had a coach like that. I mean, as a kid in the 9th, 10th grade in Jamaica High School, I told you the story. 10th grade, because I skipped the grade, right? I was in junior high, 7th and 9th, and I went right into the 10th. So it was Jamaica High freezing in the winter, unheated pool. And we had a little twerp of a coach. He always acted like too macho. He strutted around. Ugh. Look out for them guys who walk that way. And he had a whistle. And you had to swim naked. Did you know that in a public school in New York in my day? I swear to God. And this little creep, where is he today? I don't even know. Probably working for the Obama administration, the Department of Education. Would say, he blew the whistle. All right, get your shorts off. Everyone get in the water. Like that. Then when you'd come out, he'd horse around with you with towels. He'd like slap you with towels. We had one of those. He was a real friend of the boys. You know what I mean? Said he was innocent of those charges, but did admit he had made a mistake by showering with young. Who ever heard of a coach showering with young boys? Then a guy asks him, are you sexually attracted to underage boys? A sportscaster says to Sandusky, we're not talking about the attorney general now. He says, are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys? He says to Sandusky, I have to define who I'm talking about because we're not talking about the president or the attorney general. We're talking about Sandusky. But since the media won't cover the Obama and Herrick Holder scandals, I'm mixing them together for comedic, you know, reasons. So he asks him, are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys? Sandusky repeats the question, saying, am I sexually attracted to young boys? Am I sexually attracted to underage boys? Sexually attracted? He says, you know, I enjoy young people. I love to be around them. But no, I'm not sexually attracted to young boys. That's a giveaway. Every expert tells you. Oh, you have the audio? I got to hear this. Let me hear this.
Are you a pedophile?
No.
Are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
Am I sexually attracted to underage boys? Sexually attracted, you know, I enjoy young people. I love to be around them.
Around them.
But no, I'm not sexually attracted to
that took an awful long time to answer. Yeah, most men would just say, are you crazy? How dare you even imply that? No, I'm not. He gave you an answer, a little spin job. Of course he likes to be around young boys. Oh, my God. Why did he give this interview? Deranged. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, said Lord Acton. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm looking at Obama's campaign poster right now on the internet. It says, because of Barack Obama, the combat mission in Iraq ended. Okay, don't ask, don't tell us history. And the first Latina on the Supreme Court. Now, is that a good thing? You mean just because she's a Latina, that's a good thing only because she's a Latina? Not because she's the most brilliant jurist of our time, but a Latina. That's great. That's really a wonderful achievement. Just pick any Latina with a law degree and put her on the Supreme Court. That's what was done in the Soviet Union. Don't ask, don't tell us history. Now, let's see, has that been good or bad for combat readiness? We don't know. And the combat mission in Iraq has ended. That's wonderful. And what's happening in Iraq now? Iran is the big winner. 32 million new people will have health care. That's wonderful. And who's paying for it? Like in Greece. Everyone has health care in Greece.
Would you like to go to a Greek clinic? You idiots, you stupid. I don't blame you. I don't want to get mad at my own audience. Half the audience doesn't even know what's going on in the world. They're confused. They're confused because they went to schools, public schools, that brainwashed them. They don't know fact from fiction with regard to virtually anything, including their own self. They don't know fact from fiction with regard to their own mental health. They don't know the difference between fact and fiction with regard to their own physical health. They don't know fact from fiction with regard to eating properly, sexual activity. They don't know the fact from fiction, what's healthy and what's unhealthy. They haven't any idea about any of these basics. So how can they know what's real and unreal in the world around them? Which is why the big babies are laying in the gutters of America screaming, give me a nipple. Give me a state-owned milk bottle and put the milk bottle in my mouth. Give me a warm blanket and put it over me. Give me a pacifier. The government owes it to me. This is what's going on. Just what's going on. We have so many good callers now on so many topics. And I don't know where to begin, honestly. I have no idea where to begin. Your calling is so great. And the next hour, I'm going to give out free copies of Abuse of Power to each and every caller who gets past Doug, the man in the behind the plate. And if you're really bad to me, I may have to read from Abuse of Power. I may punish you today and read from Abuse of Power. It's such a good book. I may entertain you by reading from it so I can put your dog to sleep. You know, young people come up to me now, and, you know, occasionally I go out. I see kids 24 years old who say, you know, Michael, I grew up on you. I don't realize how long I've been on radio. They say, I started listening to you when I was 10, and I can't believe this much time has gone by. They're like 24 years old now, and their parents turned the show on. They were shaped by me. They call me the radio professor. They say, you've given us so much wisdom. Unbelievable.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is another year shot. Another year shot. November 15, 2011. Another year shot. We're in the dark of days again. We are in the darkness of the winter, which I happen to love. Most people get freaked out with the seasonal affective disorder. It doesn't bother me at all. I love early dark. I've often felt misplaced geographically. I've often felt closer to the Inuit than I do to the South Sea Islander in terms of I can't take endless sunshine. Living around the equator is like literally like torture for me. Who could take 18 to 20 hours of light? I don't know how people can live with it. It's normal it should go down 4:35 o'clock and you go in already. It's enough already with the day. How much can you take of a long day's journey into night? Anyway, we were talking in the first hour on the show about the bums in the streets, how behind them are the communist manipulators, the connection to the Tides Foundation, the connection to Soros, and you ask yourself, why would they want communist agitation in the streets? And I told you it's to cover up the fact that the Managed Funds Association, the hedge fund operators, are the real pirates, not the banks. Of course some of the bankers deserve to be in jail. Of course some of the grotesque earnings in the banks should be looked into in great deal. Of course the smuggled machine guns to Mexico by the federal government under Eric Holder is a bigger scandal of all of them. and that the very people who are hounding poor Kane should be running after Holder with microphones and Klieg lights, but they won't do it. Of course these are issues. Of course Obama's saying that Hawaii's in Asia is an issue, which they won't point out. Of course Jerry Sandusky, when he's asked, do you sexually attracted to young boys, took a little too long to answer. And the way he answered it was a little, you know, in circles there. I mean, you ask a normal man, are you sexually attracted to boys? He punches you in the nose. A normal man, if you say you're sexually attracted to boys, he grabs you by the collar and smacks you in the face and says, how dare you even ask me that, you son of a gun. This guy answers the question, let me think about that. Well, it depends upon how you define sexually and what do you mean by attracted and what do you mean by boys. It was like a Bill Clinton answer. It was parsing. Not sexually, but I like to horse around. Of course I like to shower with them and give them a slap on the knee. Attracted? No, not attracted, because I'm not attracted to them. And the reason I raped them in the shower is because I'm not attracted and I'm offended by the whole idea of it, so I raped them. And as far as boys, how do you define a boy? I mean, anyone over two is not a boy. He's already a man. In fact, how do you define an embryonic situation? He's not even a person. So why should you say a boy is anyone under the age of 15 or 18 or 20? So no, I'm not sexually attracted to boys, said Sandusky. Not at all. That's what the kind of answer he gave. So that's what we've been talking about in the Savage Nation. Crazy world. I mean, it is nuts. If you're a media watcher, as I am, and you actually have to look at this stuff, it's like watching cancer grow by the day. And it's like being an oncologist and watching a society die. You think you got the cancer of the this part of the organ, and then you open it up the next day, and it's already spread to another part of the body. I've never seen anything like it. The head, the foot, the toe, the hand, the eye, the nose, the ear, the esophagus. Every organ of the body politic is shot. You got Nancy Pelosi now calling CBS News and 60 Minutes a right-wing news outlet. The most liberal news outlet in the history of the mainstream media is 60 Minutes. Morty Safer, tick, 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 tick. So they catch the woman nakedly trading stocks and making a bundle on it, nakedly. And she looks at them like, how dare you even ask me? How dare you? What kind of question? What are you trying to get at? So what if we bought it at 42 and sold it at 64 a minute later? How dare you imply that was illegal? Frankly, it's not illegal for her. Because the lawbreakers have written the law so that they can trade stock and get inside information and make money on it. Whereas you would go to jail, they make a profit and they laugh all the way to the bank. So, of course, she was angry. How dare you ask her? So now anyone who asks her a question is a part of the right-wing conspiracy. So if you do this for a living, as I say, it can really get to you after a while. It's very confusing for me. You can imagine what it is for you. I don't say it's not confusing. It's bewildering in terms of the corruption that has gotten so bad that there's almost no way to cure it. That's the point I'm trying to make. The corruption is now endemic. It's a cancer that has spread from the local level to the federal level. You've got local politicians robbing the towns blind for pensions which are insupportable. I'll give you an example. Part-time, I live in Marin County, California, Barbara Boxer's backyard. This is a place that has $1.2 billion in unfunded pensions. There's no way they could pay the pensions of the city, of the county workers. No way. No way. And yet the pensions keep growing. The jobs keep being given out by the corrupt politicians in Marin County as though tomorrow will never come when tomorrow has already come. And so the corruption can be seen from the local dog catcher's office all the way up to the presidency. And the people don't know what to do about this. They don't know how to stop this. They don't know where to turn. So then you got the idiots in the gutters. Everything, no private property, take away the guns, free the people on death row, give everyone an illegal alien health care. Insanity, total insanity. That's from the marijuana. They have no idea. Nothing makes sense coming out of them. And yet the average person is saying something has to be done in this country. You just can't go on. You just can't go on. You got the Lord of the Fries and Mrs. Lord of the Fries going to Bali tomorrow on another vacation, saying Hawaii is in Asia, and no one says a word. Then you ask Herman Cain a question, and he says 999, whatever you ask him now. It's shocking. They asked him about Libya. He said 999. Listen to this. Hello?
Do you think Olivia commented?
You agree with President Obama on Libya or not?
Okay, Libya. President Obama supported the uprising, correct? President Obama called for the removal of Gaddafi. Just want to make sure we're talking about the
same
thing.
Now let's go to the next one now. I had to set it up. Now go to the next.
Mr. Ken, do you think Olivia comments reinforce?
Yeah, let us walk through. Let us walk through.
You don't have a thorough understanding of foreign policy?
Walk through. 999. This is a, I'm sorry. I love Herman Cain. Contributed, had him on the show, glorified. But now we're down to this about Libya. Every answer is 999 now. That's like Sandusky. If you ask him a question, he'll start to say 999. That could be the answer to anything now. All right, Miss Pelosi, is it true that you invested in Visa and the stock went up $20 in one day? 999. It's all like German answers now. And it's not even a mathematical answer. It means no, no, no. You don't even understand that. It's a German answer to no. So when he says 999, it's the joke. I told yesterday that that's what happened when he came on to a German woman. She said 999. It's a joke. It was written by a friend of mine who's actually very conservative and loves Cain. You gotta be able to tell a joke about a guy you like. And just because Cain didn't know an answer to something doesn't mean that I don't like him. But if I'm going to get this on the world stage, like when China says something to him in a big about a nuclear potential, and he says, let me see for a minute, H-bomb, B-bomb, C-bomb, 999. No, I'm sorry. Can't work. Doesn't work for me. So that's it. Finished. Fartik over. Let's move on. .me. Next candidate. Now we're down to the fat rubber tire, the white wall, versus Obama, and it's a 30-point win for Obama. God forbid, God save us, if by some fluke it is Gingrich versus Obama. Short, squat, fat old man, a beltway bandit, running against Obama, a Marxist. How do you wind up with a country like this? How is this possible? Romney, right, is starting to look like a savior to me. So you'll get 50, 55 points on the dollar with Romney. You'll get nothing but Rockefellerian Republicanism, country club Republicanism. You'll get health care for all. You get illegal aliens, amnesty for them. He could even seize the knock off the Second Amendment at the same time without even knowing he did it. God only knows. But you'll hear he's a wonderful family man and a devout Christian. So that you don't know which way to turn anymore. You could see why they elected a prostitute in Italy a few years ago. You could see why if a hooker ran for president, she might get more of a popular vote. At least you get something honest there. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know which way to turn anymore. Syracuse, New York, Joe, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I just want to let you know I'm military and also a police officer out here, and want to let you know that the things that you say speak to a lot of us, a lot of good, solid Americans, and, you know, watching what's going on is just that.
It's unbelievable. I don't know how you do your job, Joe. You see, you guys are where the so-called rubber meets the road. The cop is where the rubber meets the road. You have to deal with the drug addict. You have to deal with the murderer. You have to deal with the most violent predators on the planet on a daily basis, and you have to do so gingerly and nicely and not violate the human rights, civil rights, your rights, my rights, his rights, everyone's rights. It's astounding. I don't know how you do your job.
Well, Mike, all I can tell you is what we do. We just do what is right for the public, right for the community, and for ourselves. The only thing I can
That's
say
right. Well, I don't know how you do it. I mean, I have police in my family, so I know what the job entails. I don't talk about it often. It's the toughest job in the world. And frankly, at this point, I don't care what a cop's pension is. It should be double what they're getting for what they have to put up with this in society. Number one, protecting us from the most violent predators on the planet. Number two, putting up with the ACLU and the other vermin on the left who watch your every move. I mean, I'd like to see a camera put in a predator's forehead. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see every time they come out of jail, they put a camera in their forehead so we can see what they're about to do next. I'm going to send you a gift for Christmas. It's called Abuse of Power, Joe. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Are you a pedophile? Are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
999. Stop it. You guys shouldn't do that. I mean, mixing up sound bites like that is so horrible. So Barack Obama the other day insults America by saying the country is lazy and soft when it comes to the competitive edge. And then he goes off to play a round of golf at the military golf course. Barack Obama plays golf 8 more times than Bush. And there's no cameras. There's no reporters. But poor Herman Cain gets biloxied on one question already. They turn him into an idiot. That's it. It's this perception. It's just unbelievable to me. I see that there's an auction coming up with Hitler's treaty signing desk set will be auctioned off. It's a little brass set, a World War II artifact. Alexander Historical Auctions, that they plan to auction off Hitler's solid cast brass desk set, adorned with his AH initials, used to sign the Munich Pact. The desk set, designed by Hitler and never before offered for sale, expected to fetch $500,000 to $750,000 at the auction December 8th or 9th. Museum-grade relic. And it's the Munich Pact, you may not know, was signed in 1938 by Hitler, British PM Chamberlain, Italy's Mussolini, and French Prime Minister Edward Daladier. This gave Hitler control of part of Czechoslovakia in return for his promise not to push further in any war. And then Chamberlain came back and said that he had a piece of paper in a peace with Hitler called Peace for Our Time. Of course, the appeasement effort failed, just as appeasement of Iran is failing right now, and just as the appeasement of China is failing right now. But Chamberlain forever became a blemish on British history, and Hitler went on to attack all of those countries. So we've got the same Chamberlain-esque mentality with Obama, which is appeasing China, appeasing Iran, appeasing Syria, wherever you turn. So he knocked off Gaddafi. That's a big deal. That's a big victory. He knocked off Gaddafi, and he knocked out our greatest ally in the Middle East, Mubarak. That's a great achievement. And opened up the floodgates of the Muslim Brotherhood. Phenomenal. Great. What a great, great story. 999. So as I say, this is becoming a bit of a joke and a bit of insanity. It's hard to know reality from fantasy anymore. You don't know where the leadership is. Where is the leadership on all of this? There is no leadership. Yeah, I know many of you are calling to defend Herman Cain, and I respect your sentiments. I supported him the other day, but I don't think after playing this soundbite on the show that I will be seen in the press corps should he become president. Something tells me after this I will not be running the FCC. I'll have to leave that to perhaps Wallbanger or Groucho Marx's granduncle on the other station. The man who sounds like he's getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia may wind up the press secretary. One of the good old boys who is reliable in being a mouthpiece for anybody, you can exclude me. You see, I'm an independent. What are you going to do? You make a gaffe like that, it's finished for me. Finished. Over. That's all. I'm sorry. It's the way it is. You know, you're running for the most difficult, most profound office in the world, the presidency. You can't answer every question with 999. That's all. Am I wrong? Am I being too harsh on Herman?
999.
Oh, stop it, guys. You're playing with it too much. You're playing with it too much. And again, I have to say that that is allegedly what Herman Cain said to the German woman who he came on to. That was written by a friend of mine who's conservative. It's very funny, actually. Why can't you ridicule or, let's say, have a pleasant, nice joke about someone? He's a good man. Good man. But already it's, let's move on to the websites here and see what's in the news. The mess that could kill the NBA season, that's CNN. Not guns from Fast and Furious approved by Holder killed a Border Patrol agent and hundreds of Mexicans. No, NBA season. I should care about a bunch of goons with a basketball. That's my biggest problem. Or a bunch of bums in a park with dirty bags being thrown out of Zucchini Park. That's my biggest problem in life. Protesters may face health risks. That's a brilliant article from CNN. No kidding. I mean, laying in a dirty gutter without any hygiene could produce health risks? God, who wrote that one? That must be their medical expert wrote that one. So the world is nuts right now. That's what happens when you have a vacuum of leadership. Insanity reigns. When I come back on the Savage Nation, a special surprise for you, which I haven't yet figured out, right here on your local affiliate.
Savage.
right, so we know about Nancy Pelosi, a big-mouth Democrat from California, who says that she's going to have the most cleanest whatever, and she buys Visa stock, and making sure that the controls don't go in. They make money on that one. Now, Feinstein, her friend, it came out today, Feinstein bought biotech stock just before a company received a $24 million grant. In my day, they'd go to jail for this. It's unbelievable to me. I never saw anything like this. I have never seen anything like, where does the liberal corruption end? Feinstein already has one scandal, Milcon, hanging over her head with her directing military contracts to her husband's companies, and that went nowhere because they own the Congress. Stealing wealth is the end product for most of the billionaire Democrats. That's the end product of being a senator today, stealing wealth. Feinstein bought biotech stock just before company received a $24 million grant. You won't read that in the local newspaper. You won't read that in the media. All you hear is, Cain said 999 because he didn't know much about Libya. Or you hear about the NBA and the goons with the basketball. Or you'll hear about Occupy. Don't you see how this is working? San Luis Obispo, Victor, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I agree with you on Occupy Wall Street on so many levels, but can you imagine if you had men like the 40s and 50s, the men that built this country, fought the wars, that were in the streets, you know, against these people, or at least expressing their opinions, or I'm not a geneticist, but imagine bringing, you know, cloning the bodies of the great generals of World War II, like Patton and MacArthur, you know, and making them the leaders of this country. What type of country we would have?
Yeah, well, I dream about it all the time. Unfortunately, we have almost no opposition to any of this, except here and there, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. Look, take a look at what just happened in the 60 Minutes, perhaps the most reliably kosher liberal outlet in television for the last 50 years, right? CBS, 60 Minutes, certifiably liberal. Is that correct? So they do an expose on Nancy Pelosi and Republicans, by the way, like Baucus, who traded in stock, made a fortune with inside information, and now Pelosi fires back and says that CBS is a right-wing, part of a right-wing conspiracy.
That's our fault, because we let it happen. You know, we need to turn them off, turn the president off, and, you know, get to the streets ourselves, get to the polls ourselves. And we
Could Feinstein, who has had a long history of voting on various spending bills that affect her husband's financial interests, how in the world could this woman get away with a thing like this? In fact, if you Google Dianne Feinstein and conflicts of interest, go to Google and put in Dianne Feinstein and conflicts of interest, you're going to see 2.5 million hits. The question is, why do you never see this in the local newspapers? Answer, because she owns them. She doesn't own them physically. The reporters are worthless in the Bay Area. They are apparatchiks of the Soviet bloc that runs the Bay Area media outlets. Feinstein buys a biotech stock just before the company received a $24 million grant. It's astounding to me how they get away with it. How? You won't read about it tomorrow, but you heard about it tonight. And what are you going to do about it? Nothing. You'll be distracted again with more nonsense. So what can I say? Nancy Pelosi claimed that she would clean the swamp. But you know what? A swamp by any other name is still a swamp. A swamp by any other name is still a swamp. A crook by any other name is still a crook. It doesn't matter whether you're wearing a skirt or pants. It doesn't matter if they're a Democrat or Republican. A crook is a crook. A liar is a liar. A swamp is a swamp. And who is watching the watchers? Who is watching the watchers? There's a Latin phrase for it. Because in the last days of Rome, people were asking that question. Who will watch the watchers? And of course, the answer was there was no one left to watch the watchers, and Rome imploded. Rome collapsed from corruption within. You're watching it in front of your eyes. It's like slow motion. I have no answer for this anymore. How did they get away with numbers so big? How did they get away with such grotesque thievery? Overt thievery. It's unbelievable to me. If a kid robs a chain of jewelry from an outdoor stand, let's say a poor black kid, for argument's sake, we'll do a stereotype. He sees something and he snatches it. He'll go to jail for probably a year. But if you snatch $24 million, you go to the Senate. If you snatch $900 million, you go to the Speaker of the House. If you snatch over $1 billion, you're a candidate for the presidency on the Democrat ticket. Kennewick, Washington. Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just think that people are not giving him the fair point of view. I mean, they haven't, have they seen the whole video? They asked him 40-plus questions, and he's in an uncomfortable chair. If I was his age, campaigning as hard as he did.
Who are we talking about wasn't treated fairly? Who?
Herman Cain. Did you get the...
So you don't find his inability to answer the question on Libya and going blank on it a little bit disturbing?
I think it is a little bit disturbing. I agree with that. But I want someone human. I want a doer, an accomplisher in the White House, someone who cares.
All right. I understand. To forgive is divine. To err is human. To forgive is divine. So do you forgive Obama for his gaffes?
Absolutely not. I want him out.
Why do you have a double standard on forgiveness?
I guess you're correct in that point. I can't argue with that.
I'm not trying to put you in a difficult spot. But this is a pretty a shocking 999er. I mean, I heard of the 49ers, but the 999ers now are a whole new group. I'm sending you a free copy of Abuse of Power for your reading entertainment over Thanksgiving. When you're sitting around the table with your relatives and about to fall asleep out of boredom, you can sneak this into the bathroom and read a page here and there about the adventures of Jack Hatfield, my character. I'm writing the sequel already. The villain will not be the Hand of Allah in the next book. You know already who the villains are. I told you. There's no secret to that. Should I read from the book anything? A page or two? No? You're bored already? The ape withdrew the baton and Jack's body went slack. The relief so sweet he wanted to kiss the guy for being merciful. He felt strangely weightless. He could barely breathe and his abdomen throbbed. He felt as if a hole had been burned right through it. Operation Roadshow, Swain said. Tell me what you know. Nothing, Jack managed, spewing strings of saliva. Just the name. You'll have to do better than that. I'm told Mr. Copeland called you the morning he died, and I can imagine he was quite talkative. Jack shook his head. He was drunk, drugged. He wasn't making any sense. Talked about a shoe. Swain nodded. Who are you working with? No one. Not even your friend from the yacht harbor or the blackbird with the nice big netties? You spent a lot of time with those two. Not that I can blame you in her case. Jack thought of Tony and Max and felt panic rising. They're just friends, he murmured, tied to the seat. She takes video. He watches my dog. They don't know anything. I really wish you'd be more forthcoming. Swain flicked two fingers at the thug, and the baton touched Jack's belly again. Jack wailed, pride gone, dignity evaporated, his body stiffening against the pain as it raced through him. And just when he thought his skin might rupture, the ape pulled the baton away, well-being immediately flowing through him. Jack didn't know how much more of this he could take. Two hits, and he was about ready to sign over all of his real estate. His body ached from head to toe, his muscles twitching uncontrollably. He'd completely forgotten about loosening the ropes at his wrists. He thought about that poor woman in the other cell, how this was a strangely bonding experience. He realized that if she wasn't dead, it was a miracle. Anything else you want to share? Swain asked. I swear to you, he wheezed, I don't know anything. Then what are you doing in England, Jack? A fishing expedition. That's all. I was, he thought for a moment he was going to pass out. You were, following Alfida. Swain nodded, then flicked his fingers again. Jack tried to brace himself for the impact, but there was no preparing for something like this. The baton touched his neck now, and a whole new level of pain shot through him. Flaming fingers reached into his brain, his lungs, rammed down to his stomach. He swore he could feel the shape of his own navel ringed by fire. He felt himself slipping into darkness, running away to escape this agony. Then it was done, and a hand slapped his face, keeping him from passing out. He jerked his eyes open and through the smear of tears found Swain crouched in front of him. Not as easy as you thought, is it, playing the crusading journalist? You'd think all those years working all those wars would have toughened you for this. But all I'm seeing is a weak little wanker about to blank his trousers. I think I already did, Jack gasped. His arms felt like putty, but the cockiness of this SOB pushed the right button. Well, anyway, I don't want to give away any more of the plot. It's really well written. I have to tell you, there's so many books out there that are garbage. But just as my nonfiction books are all Persian miniatures, in the truest sense of creativity, my novel, Abuse of Power, is a work of art. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Unbelievable. Feinstein buys biotech stock just before company receives $24 million grant, and it's perfectly legal. if you knew that a biotech company was going to get a grant for $24 million and you bought stock, you'd go to jail. So how can she do it? How can Pelosi buy Visa stock that goes up the next day? How can the Republican buy stock that goes up the next day? How can the Republican buy farmland that goes up the next year? Because they write the laws. One scandal after another, and there's nobody to protect the interests of the people. It's unethical, it's immoral, but it's not illegal. It's morally bankrupt, it's unethical, it's immoral, but it is not illegal. Because stealing wealth is the end product for being a Democrat. The end product for being a Democrat is stealing wealth, period. Now, who in the world would doubt Feinstein's word on any of these things? Only racist Tea Partiers would do so. Baucus in Alabama, although he's a Republican, also needs to go for what he has done in the minds of millions of people who've seen the 60 Minutes piece. I mean, now you know why they spend $1 million or $10 million or $50 million or $100 million to collect a salary of about $200,000. What a club it is, a club of 100, the club of 100, the 100 senators. You earn $200,000 a year and you, God in heaven, amazing story. Just another 1% liberal who has hoodwinked all the little commies at OWS. Maybe the morons sitting idle in their tents smoking a joint should read Animal Farm. Okay, there's no point to this anymore because there's nobody watching the watchers. There's no one representing us. Doesn't matter who you are, Democrat, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, independent. Does it matter? Does it matter that we know what's going on and we can't do a darn thing about it? A crook is a crook is a crook. A liar is a liar is a liar. A dirty swamp is a dirty swamp is a dirty swamp. And our guts are burning. It's burning. My gut is burning looking at these stories because they get away with it. Nobody can do a thing about it. Nobody can do anything about it because it's like the ex-Soviet Union where there was a political class in the Politburo who did what the hell they wanted, whenever they wanted, to whoever they wanted, and then there were the little people. So under Obama, the corruption has reached such a zenith that this kind of naked corruption now is slapping us in the face and we can't do a thing about it. Petri in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I'm glad that earlier you mentioned communism in Russia, and that guy called in talking about his trip there. Well, I've been to Russia three times during Soviet occupation, and then to East Germany, too. So I've seen Russia, communism. And these communists in USA, they're so lost with their dreams. They know absolutely nothing about
nothing.
The way life was for those poor people. It was gray buildings, gray people, gray food, gray walls. No smiles, no laughs, just cold stone faces.
Well, that's how liberals look today. Have you ever seen the face of a liberal? That's what they look like. They look that way. You look at them, even if they're wealthy, that's exactly what they look like here in Marin County in San Francisco. Miserable, mean, horrendous Bolsheviks.
Yeah. You know, somebody came peddling their little publication, the communist pamphlet, at my door. I couldn't believe it. I actually held myself back from yelling and screaming at them.
Wait, Petro, in Sacramento they were trying to sell the, what? Which communist manifesto?
Oh, I managed to blank it out of my mind, but it's a communist magazine, a small pamphlet.
Oh, you mean the actual, because they're on the move right now. You have to understand the unions were the first to trigger this reaction against the American people. They are the true reactionaries. They have everything reversed. The Tea Party are the Tea Parties are the American people, the American voters, the taxpayer. The unions are the reactionaries. Then they unleash the bums in the streets. I would not be shocked if before this year is out, Obama does not arm his own private police force to beat the people into submission and frighten them. I swear to God this could happen in this country because there's nobody who is controlling what's going on in this country, Petri. I'm sending you a copy of Abuse of Power while I still can before it is banned across America. Hung. Let's go to Naples, Florida from Sacramento, California. Hung in Naples, Florida. Thanks for calling. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, I'd like to say that I am a great follower of yours, but I have to say that the independent thought that you have is the same independent free-thinking thought that I have. Everything that you say, I've thought of about almost 3 days before you say it. When I see something go on, you bring out the truth. And I really appreciate the fact that here I am. I came over in 1975 in Operation Babylift, a governmental action. I was brought over to the United States. I was raised by a good family in the Midwest of Minnesota. And I have now designed electric bikes that get 159 miles per gallon. And what I am riding around in this town, I get pulled over by three different agencies, eight different times in less than a month. And each and every time
You came over, Hung, which country, from Vietnam, Cambodia, which country?
From Vietnam. I'm actually Montagnard, which comes from the...
Oh, you fought along the American Special Force. Your parents, rather, probably were involved with the Special Forces in the mountains, I understand. And you had to be rescued before the North Vietnamese communists would have wiped out your whole family.
And I'll tell you this. My mother walked about 35 miles, being 9 months pregnant, had me at a Saigon hospital. And then had me stayed there for 3 days and gave me my name and gave me her name, and then she fled. It was wartime. And all the innocent babies...
Hung, tell the American people listening to my show what the communists did in South Vietnam after America withdrew, after lying that the war and hostilities would end. Did they not kill a million South Vietnamese?
They didn't just kill a million South Vietnamese. My direct descendants, they eradicated over this... 8,000 in my area right away.
So the North Vietnamese communists conducted a holocaust on the non-communist South and upon the Montagnards, who are America's ally.
And you can talk to any...
So that's an unknown holocaust that we never hear about.
It's an unknown holocaust.
We know of the horrors of the Nazi holocaust against the Jews and others. We know about the Armenian holocaust committed upon the Armenians by the Muslim Turks, but we never heard about the holocaust of the communists against your people. Never. I never heard of it.
It was swept under the rug. You can see a lot of it now on YouTube now. I've been able to find more stuff. People are putting...
Well, I mean, the point of my raising this, Hung, is not to agitate people, but to warn them about what these vermin in the gutters really stand for and what might happen if they gain control in this country. If people do not wake up to the fact that they are the advance peacenik shock troops of the Communist Manifesto and the Communist Movement, all hell could break loose in this country. I am frankly thrilled that New York got rid of the rats, Oakland got rid of the rats, and the rats now came over the bridge to San Francisco, where the leadership is so corrupt, the leadership is so rotten, stealing so much money that they'll let them do whatever they want in order to distract the people from the robbery that's going on. I'm sending you a gift of abuse of power before I blow a fuse here. I don't want to get any more angry than I already am. I mean, agitated. It's agitating. So there we are. The news is horrible. Is it not horrible? It's horrible. So now we got 999. That's the end of that one. We got what do you mean by boys? What do you mean by sexual attraction? What do you mean by abuse? You got Obama saying Hawaii is part of Asia. We got the most unqualified Supreme Court justice in American history, Kagan. She's running a nose-to-nose or hip-to-hip with the other one that Obama appointed. Two of the most unqualified lawyers in history were foisted onto the Supreme Court by the most unqualified president in American history. And she lies during a hearing saying that I had no comment, no statement, wasn't involved with Obamacare. Now they got emails from her to that other prize, Lawrence Tribe, back at Harvard, who, of course, laid in wait his whole life to be put on the Supreme Court. Instead, he put one of his students on. And here she says, I hear they have the vote. Simply amazing. She should be immediately impeached. Kagan should be immediately thrown off the Supreme Court for having lied during her confirmation hearings. Will it happen? Oh, yeah. Just as quickly as it'll happen that Feinstein will give back the money she made on the biotech stock. And just as quickly as Pelosi will give back the money she made on Visa.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, America is in the lock grip of a battle for its survival as a nation of freedom. The communists have been unleashed on the streets. These are the street thugs of Obama. You think that they're innocent occupiers. The city says occupiers are stockpiling weapons. And they found a communist judge to work with the illicit, in my opinion, National Lawyers Guild, a team of the most verminous, well, I've said all I want to say. The protesters were kicked out of the park in New York. Thank God the cops did the right thing. And they shopped it to a judge who said they can go back with their rotten tents. There's other news on michaelsavage.com. The Energy Department pushed Solyndra to keep layoffs quiet until after midterms. The GOP is calling for Holder to quit. The European Union has banned X-ray body scanners at airports. The incompetent at any speed Judge Kagan, who has absolutely no qualifications to be a Supreme Court justice, other than she's a leftist feminist who hates America, in my opinion, lied during her confirmation hearings when she said she had nothing to do with Obamacare. She has been shown to be the fat liar that she looks like. She looks like the female side of Michael Moore, or shall I say the male side of Michael Moore? I'm not sure. The emails show that she cheered as Obamacare passed to her communist friend Lawrence Tribe, or Tribe, at Harvard. She wrote, "I hear they have the vote. Simply amazing." Can you believe this? In Chicago, the teachers' union president makes fun of Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, saying he has a lisp. The tough union president said if he had gone to public school, he would have had that lisp fixed. Okay, Sandusky admits to showering with boys. Okay. They say there's a four-way dead heat in Iowa. I could care less. These polls mean nothing to me. 69 more innocent Muslims killed by the Syrian dictator. The UN does nothing. Nothing. The worthless UN does nothing. They party on and steal our money. Obama's in Hawaii saying during a speech, "Here we are in Asia." Michelle says, "Let them eat steak and arugula." But children should get their palates adjusted while I eat steak and arugula. They should be taught to eat healthfully. Report on Nancy Pelosi's credit card bonanza from CBS is called a right-wing smear by Pelosi. I guess 60 Minutes now has become a right-wing organization. How Visa courted Nancy Pelosi, hoping to forestall swipe fee charges. You like this? How do you like that? It's all over the news. But you wouldn't read this in the local newspapers in California, would you? I mean, this is the Soviet Union on the West Coast. Read the article. Just read the article. You make your own decision. I guess CBS 60 Minutes is now a right-wing smear tank. Let's go to the top of michaelsavage.com and see what we have for you there. Wall Street is occupied no more, and then it's occupied again. Obama's boasting that he delivered change you can believe in. That he wrecked the core of what the country stands for. Well, he says he changed the core, but I say he wrecked the core. Kagan celebrated Obamacare's passage. Care packages for U.S. troops are called shameful by a lawyer with tenure at a college in Massachusetts. Now, do you know the list of Occupy demands? They're on the Savage Nation website, michaelsavage.com. I want to save you from the nightmare of communism. Go and look for it. Sandusky admits showering with boys, but he had no sexual feelings towards them. Oh, really? The first printing of Abuse of Power is almost sold out. I suggest that you buy your rare first printing while copies last. In 100 years, who knows how much this book will be worth. I mean, if there's still an Antiques Roadshow 100 years from now, can you imagine them bringing a first edition of Abuse of Power to a communist bookseller. A rare book. There's a couple of other stories. Your tax dollars are subsidizing Ted Turner and John Bon Jovi with farm credits. And here's one for the records. You ready for this one? A drunk student fell out of a dorm bunk bed, woke up in a hospital paralyzed from the neck down after the drunk fell out of his dorm bed, and now he's suing the school because they gave him a dorm bed. All this and more on MichaelSavage.com.
The silence of the clergy is almost frightening, because most of the things that we are dealing with are taxes and entitlements, and entitlements deal with Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare. If ever there was any biblical references to the work we do, you know, it's in Matthew's, when, what do you do for the lesser of our brothers and sisters, the poor, the sick, the aged? And I haven't heard, with the exception of same-sex marriage and abortion, the spiritual leaders are quiet during this period of time.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to AmericaIsRising.com, 800-255-4199, AmericaIsRising.com. You got to laugh at some mild infirmities. You know, a guy gets in a fight when he's a kid, he gets a tooth knocked out. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. It's a tooth. That's all. That's all. It's only a tooth. It's nothing. It could have been worse. Because I remember when I was a kid, like 18, 15, you know, I never thought I'd live past 40. I really didn't. Come from a family of horrendous male longevity. I don't blame them. It was just the way it is. So my friends and I used to joke. We used to joke when we were kids. We'd look at older men, guys over 30, some of whom were bald. And I remember saying to my friend, and I said, you know what? I'm not worried about baldness because I probably never lived that long. And we used to joke about it. I swear, young guys are funny. We always had a fatalistic view of things. But as time, and there was another story I'll tell you from that era. I remember I told you I had a friend whose father was the tough guy in the whole like thing in the ghetto. All the other guys had little stores or little jobs. This guy owned a bar on the Upper East Side of Manhattan before it was cool. He was a professional bar owner wearing a suit, not a bartender, a gambler. He was a real, you know, let's say, cool type of guy, but he was a man's man. So naturally, the boys would gravitate to the toughest of the men, because boys will. Boys will always be drawn to the tough guy. I didn't say nasty, I didn't say evil, but the toughest man is usually the tribal leader anyway. So guys liked him. He had a manly way about him. He talked quietly, never spoke loud, hardly spoke at all. And sometimes when the families would get together in those days, all the families got very often got together on weekends in someone's apartment or house, he would sit down, and the guys would listen to him. And remember, he said to us, he would say things. He would say, you know, he says, you know, when you hit this certain age, like at 50, and your teeth start to fall out, and your eyes are, you know, not as good as they were. He says, I don't want to live past 50. I hear the guy's 95 now, living in Florida. Because the truth is that as you get older, no one wants to die. You keep moving the goalposts. That's the absolute reality.
Savage.
For months now, Big Oil has done everything it could to pressure President Obama to approve the Keystone XL pipeline. This pipeline would have carried the dirtiest oil in the world, tar sands, right through the American heartland, threatening our drinking water and putting foreign corporate profits ahead of America's well-being. This pipeline would have tied our energy future to the destructive ways of the past. It would not have met America's energy needs, nor would it have created substantial permanent jobs.
I got a whole lot of love for you. True, true love for you.
I got a whole lot of Savage Nation. Rock and roll. I got a whole lot of... Turn it off. I don't like this song at all. Welcome to the program. I didn't pick it. I don't like it. I got to play only things I like, because there's memories. That's all. Most people don't like this music anyway to begin with. It's antiquated, old. It's like a 55 Buick Roadmaster. I mean, who would drive a rusty Buick Roadmaster? Nobody. Well, if it's restored, it's another story. Now, look, I've done it already. I'm not going to do it. I need to breeze through this hour. I don't want to give myself a migraine. So let's play it. Let me pick a rock and roll tune. Can we talk about anything except politics? Unless there's a great caller. Unless there's some great callers. I don't know. Let's clean the board off here and start all over again. You know, I don't know if I want to do politics now. I want to go into something else. Pig's feet, tripa, whatever. I can't eat tripa. I can't eat it. The idea of eating the guts of another animal, I mean, I can't do it. I told you I did. It's not alien to my culture. My mother ate brains. She ate intestine. I puked when I looked at that stuff. But all right, she ate it. What are you going to do? She lived to 88, so she must have known what she was doing. God bless her. Who could eat brains? I don't get it. Not only that, I mean, it turns out that, you know, you look at all these organ meats you talk about from a point of view of health. According to our hysteria about cholesterol, they're no-nos because you can't eat liver. High cholesterol, we know that. Even though it's fabulously rich in iron and other minerals that we all need, which explains why many of us are deficient in these nutrients, because we've given up some of the most important parts of the animal, like the liver. You should have liver once in a while, by the way. Forget your Lipitor and your insanity. Okay, have a piece of liver every once in a while. You'll find out that you have more energy than you've had in years. The iron that would run through your system, you finally feel like a man again. You wouldn't need Viagra and you wouldn't need the Lipitor. You'd feel like a human being again with something between your ears. I was going to say something else, but it's a family show. So I wouldn't say go to the brains department. That is, the brains are the most cholesterol-rich organ of the cow. And secondly, you can get Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease from eating uncooked brains. That's something that I don't want to go into, but it's related to the Lou Gehrig's disease, so to speak. That was a part of my PhD dissertation. You don't want to mess around with uncooked brains. We have enough of them in Washington. Not funny. Okay, throwaway line. Whatever. Now I want to just drift. I want to cruise through the hour. I want to be like a manatee in the Intracoastal. I want to be like a pelican flying over Boca Raton in a soft wind. I want to be like a bluebird on Al Jolson's nose. You want me to just do word jazz? I'll do word jazz. I just gave you three pieces of word jazz. I could play a tune to those three couplets, couldn't I? Is that like a bluebird on Al Jolson's nose? That's a nice image, right? It's almost a maiku. That's also funny, that for those of you who know what I just said. Maiku as opposed to haiku. You didn't catch that one? Okay. That was a maiku. Bluebird on Al Jolson's nose, manatee in the Intracoastal. You ever see those pelicans flying over that strip of land in Florida? It's astounding. The pelican is one of my favorite seabirds. They are allegedly they're kind of like green dinosaurs that adapted to the times over millions of years. Now, they were once pterodactyls, and they figured out, okay, that game is over. All right, let's re-engineer ourselves. That should take about 10,000 years. Cut down on the legs, cut down on the body. You don't need all that girth. We're going into a new age. It's pretty bad out there. Meteor hit the earth. Less to eat. So shrink it up, girls. We're going to lose some weight. We're no longer going to be pterodactyls. We're going to be pelicans. That thing about penguins really gets to me. Holding the egg. The father holds the egg, and the mother goes swimming. My God. I'd like to give to a pelican society. Is there a pelican saving group or something? Whale killers, I'd like to personally put on a harpoon myself. I think that we have to stop the whale murderers. I really mean that. It's heartbreaking to let the Japanese and the Norwegians kill those animals. Never mind the clubbing up there by the drunks in Alaska. Yeah, everything is ethnic. It's an ethnic excuse to beat them to death with a club. So, I'm sorry, it's your ethnic right to slaughter a whale. Pardon me. Oh, you're different than everybody else on the world today. Go club seals to death because it's in your culture. Go ahead. Anyone says anything, you're a racist white male. Go beat a seal to death, a little white seal pup with a club. Call yourself a man. Go ahead. Vote for a Democrat. Vote for Al Gore. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'm getting such beautiful letters. By the way, I want to take a moment now. I finally, folks, all of you who've sent donations to the Savage Defense Fund, I can't thank each of you by name on the show, and I'm sure many of you don't want to be thanked by name on the show. You'd rather remain anonymous. I finally had a list printed up, so I'm getting some feeling of who's sending because I never look at it. And I want to thank each and every one of you individually, but I can't. I'm going to be sending you a letter soon to thank you. That's all I can say. And the certain amongst you, I'm going to get a book. I'm going to send you a book. It's all I can do. It's all I have to give you. I thought about something this today in bed before I got up. I said, you know, the other animals feel. They can be sensitive. They have emotions. They can love. Not perhaps in the same way a human can love, but I'm not so sure of that. In other words, I think my dog loves more purely than a human ever did. If I go out for 10 minutes, he jumps like crazy. He doesn't know it's 10 minutes or 10 years. Crazy, jumping, loving. You know, it's something to behold. It's almost painful in a way to see an animal so attached to you. So, okay, love, they say, is a divine human emotion, and I'm sure it is. But it's not unique to the human animal, okay? It's also seen in the animal world as well. An ape can love, a dog can love, etc. I'm sure many other animals that you get to know can love you. But what does the human being do that lower animals, so to speak, cannot do? Speak, articulate language, and write. And so the thing that distinguishes man from other animals is his use of language, my friends. Think about it. So when we have a society that is so debased by the media, where a rap song is held up to the level of a rhapsody, where Beethoven and a gangbanger are held up in the same level, you understand that we're descending, we're not ascending? Do you understand that we're going backwards, not forwards? Do you understand why when a person sits and text messages or emails all day long, they're actually diminishing their IQ? You understand what I'm saying? You're actually devolving as a creature. You're devolving. You are diminishing your capacity to read and to write, let alone to speak. You don't speak on these devices, but you can read and you can write. So when you reduce your writing to hieroglyphics without punctuation, without thinking about tenses, you're actually going back in time, which is why it's a very, very poor prognosis for the future of Western civilization.
Savage.
Remember when Osama bin Laden was finally killed? Congratulations to SEAL Team 6. But did the Obama administration tell a different story of what actually happened? Let's go to an expert. Joining us right now to talk about this is a former assault element commander of SEAL Team 6, Chuck Farrer. Chuck, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. It's good to talk to you.
It's great to have a real hero on the show, but why would the administration tell a different story than what actually happened?
Well, it's not just that they told a different story. It's that they told a variety of different stories. After the operation, the decision was made by the president to announce that the mission had been successful. The statement he made was about the last time the government told a complete and integrated statement. After the president announced it, he wasn't very well served by his staff, which almost immediately began leaking information from pretty much every pore. And these stories were contradictory. We all heard the 45-minute firefight. We heard the story that his wife was shot deliberately in the leg, apparently for sport. We heard that this attack was launched from the ground up, three floors, and resulted in shooting a man and his wife in their bedroom. It was a variety of stories that were all over the map. And by August, the stories had metastasized into the New Yorker piece, which wasn't the story of a special operation and wasn't the story of the mission. It was informed by political sources who tried to manipulate the story. And this thing was an ugly tale of murder. I decided to write this book, to set the facts straight as far as the historical record goes, and in speaking to people who were in the know, first-person witnesses, and also, importantly, people who, up the chain, who knew and understood how this mission went.
Okay. I want to believe you more than the media, but what about my cynical listeners? They'd like to know, who did you talk to verify this course of events?
Well, again, I spoke to people within my own community, which is Naval Special Warfare, the SEAL teams. I am a former assault element commander of SEAL Team 6, This wasn't a story I needed to investigate my way into. I spoke to participants. I spoke to people who observed the operation, both from the ground and also from above. You know what? Let's say that this is an issue of he said, she said. Which of the several administration stories should I take on one at a time? Should we accept the version that a helicopter went down on insertion and then the second helicopter, in contrary to the good issuance of the mission, chose to land outside a 20-foot wall and a 10-foot steel gate? Do we think that a Navy SEAL, a 230-pound Navy SEAL in full assault gear, found it necessary to shoot an unarmed woman in the leg to get her to comply to do something? The stories that were out there that the administration told, they are multifarious. I am certain that in the middle of May, they got tired of reeling back these statements. They let the story lie. They gave information. Political sources and political officers within the administration gave information to the New Yorker in an attempt to hand a story. I had to think long and hard about writing this book and what ramifications it might have for me down the line. But I stand by my story, and I'll also ask the readers to take a long view. Eventually, the facts of this mission will come out. My book won't have to be rewritten.
There have been a few reports out recently saying that this is completely false. Why should we believe you over these reports? Remember, I'd rather believe you.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, I was a bit disappointed, but I will say that I wasn't surprised. Nobody likes to get to be called a liar. I've been associated with the special warfare community for three decades. I am a former naval officer. Issues of my own personal integrity are sort of the last desperate mud ball that someone can throw. But again, I say this. Look, this is a case of politicians pushing back against fact. And one of the facts are that this mission was used for political gain. It was announced a mere hours after the assaulters had returned. There wasn't even a chance to index or inventory the vital intelligence that was taken off this target, much to the detriment of our continuing effort against Al-Qaeda. That, you know, nobody can deny that. It's one of the things I've pointed out in SEAL Target Geronimo. This raid should not have been announced at all. Nobody should have said anything about it. They did. That helped moot the intelligence. It allowed Al-Qaeda and its leaders to scurry for new bolt holes. And what was worse is the story that was allowed to morph into this ugly tale of murder, that needed to be corrected. Because that tale of murder is also counter to what we are trying to do against Al-Qaeda. And face it, what the world thinks of this mission is important. And it was thoughtless and negligent for the administration to allow this story to meander all over the place. What I've reported is fact. They are inconvenient facts, especially for men who are trying to sell you a different story.
So what is the reason the administration is putting out these multiple false stories, in your opinion?
Well, you know what? I don't even think it was a nefarious plan. I think it was just negligence. I think that, President Biden at the Ritz-Carlton couldn't resist bringing it up apropos to nothing. I think that there were other people within the administration in National Security Council and the counterterrorism world who put forward little nuggets of fact that they thought they knew. In point of fact, this was a highly compartmentalized operation. It was sealed off. There were not very many participants in it and not very many people in a position to know what the actual facts are. You know, the American people are now in possession of the facts. I mean, my book is a factual rendition of what happened. And again, it's very easy to strike back. you know, through sympathetic correspondence. But again, I would put the question to the administration. When did the helicopter crash? Why do we have a story of a 45-minute firefight? These are just fundamental questions. They won't answer them, but it's very easy to call me a liar. And again, I don't take it personally, and this is something, as I interviewed my sources, I was warned to expect. And it's happened.
Well, what is a SEAL mission against Somali pirates and a cover-up about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq have to do with all of this?
Well, in the first instance, and I think the more important one in terms of national security, was the cover-up of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And again, my own politics do not fall pretty much to right or left. I consider myself to be apolitical. One of the things that, that people don't seem to be aware of, Al-Qaeda has gained possession and used nerve gas in Iraq in May of 2004, as reported by the New York Times, as reported by the BBC, as reported by Fox, an IED comprised of a 155-millimeter chemical nerve gas shell was defused by EOD technicians in Baghdad. They didn't realize it was a chemical shell when they were working on it. They were both contaminated with VX nerve gas. And subsequently, their treatment was even written up in peer-reviewed medical journals. The other continuing, it shows the continuing aspect of this, is I encourage listeners to go to the United Nations website, look up a report entitled, confusingly enough, Weapons of Mass Destruction Discovered in Iraq Since 2007. So these weapons, in the hands of Al-Qaeda, form a serious, serious threat to the security of the United States. It has been, after being reported by the New York Times, it's been utterly ignored. The problem is there's an axis of embarrassment here. There's an axis on the left. They don't want to admit that weapons of destruction were found in Iraq. And on the right, they don't want to admit that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, many more than has been reported, and they are not all in U.S. custody.
Where can we read more?
Well, some of the references are on my website, which is www.chuckfarrer.com, and also in SEAL Target Geronimo. You know what? I ask only read it with an open mind, and then compare it against your favorite version that the administration's put out.
Chuck Farrer, thanks for being a hero, and thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great to talk to you. One more thing I'd like to say is, again, commend the brave SEALs who conducted this operation and the men and women who supported them. And I wrote this book because history deserved to know the truth, and these guys deserve for America to know the truth.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. Kevin in New York, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to say that the tax increases, the debt limit increases, also coincide almost all the time with tax breaks for the super rich. And that taxes
all right, should... Kevin, I recognize that you're limited in your economic understanding. And I know you didn't hear the opening of my show where I talked about Barack Obama as a descendant of Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. But do you know that in 1987, the richest 1% of Americans paid one quarter of all income taxes, and at the bottom, poorest paid 6% of all taxes? And you know in 07, what happened? The richest 1% paid 40% of all income taxes, and the bottom 50% of earners paid just under 3%. So how does that fit your argument that the rich are getting richer while the poor are getting poorer when the rich are paying more taxes and the poor are paying fewer taxes? How does that work, Kevin?
Because the rich aren't actually paying more taxes.
Where do you come up with this from? This is something that you get out of what? Your mother was a communist on the oil cloth in Brooklyn?
Not at all. When President Kennedy was...
Wait a minute. Sir, I'm one of the rich. I'm a very successful author and broadcaster. I pay a full amount of taxes, both state and federal. My state taxes are over 10%. Are you aware of that? I don't have any lawyers who can jury rig that. Where do you get the idea that we don't pay taxes?
I'm not saying tax the individual except for the super rich. I mean, like George Soros. How much?
Well, how about General Electric? How do you feel about Jeffrey Immelt of General Electric, and that corporation pays no income tax in the U.S.? Does that bother you like it bothers me?
Yes, it does. This is what I'm trying to...
So therefore, a guy like you on the left and me in the center-right can agree that large corporations who have evaded taxes entirely are conducting themselves in a criminal manner, and they should be the target of a congressional investigation. This is what I'm trying to say.
But it's not just corporations. How much is Jeffrey Immelt paying in taxes compared to an average American making...
I really don't know. I don't know because he's a private individual. I just don't know what his tax returns are. I'm sure he has to pay the 37% or whatever the taxation rate is for people who earn over $1 million a year.
Right, but then he gets all the tax breaks, which reduce that 37% to possibly, say, 29%.
You may be right about that. I do not know, truthfully, Kevin. What income bracket are you in yourself?
I would have to say I'm lower middle class now.
All right, but you have a resentment towards the rich, which is understandable. This is an age-old resentment. But you're actually arguing that the corporations who are evading taxes should pay more?
It's yes, but also individuals.
Well, let's make believe you and I just met, and I'm a rich guy compared to you. I'm over 60 years of age. I've been working since I'm 5 years old. I've done very well because no matter what society tried to do to me, no matter how many different ways I was kicked, I wouldn't quit because I was raised to fight and I was raised to work. I could have retired years ago and I'm still working. If my taxes are to go up, I'm giving you an example right now, Kevin. If they were to raise my taxes next year, I would quit radio and a lot of people would not have an income. Do you understand that?
Yes, but have you not benefited over the past decade from tax breaks?
No, I have no tax breaks. What tax breaks? I pay retail. I pay retail. There are no real trick tax breaks for the individual paying taxes, Kevin. There are none.
Well, you said you were rich.
Yeah, I'm rich because I worked my behind off. That's why I'm rich.
Well, no, I didn't take
it from you. Did I take it from you?
No.
All right, so where do you think I wrote a book and it did very well? Does that mean I stole it from somebody?
No, not at all, people.
All right, so if a singer sings a song and produced a CD and it sold millions of copies, should they not earn money on that CD because they had talent and people bought their record or their CD?
No, but they should pay taxes on what they earned.
But they do pay taxes. They do pay taxes, and their taxes make certain that those who work in the record industry are rewarded, just as the sale of my books keep a lot of people employed. The publishers, the printers, the distributors, the advertising agencies, the shippers, they all have jobs because people have books that occasionally hit. You know how many books don't hit? 99 out of 100 don't make any money at all. They live off the 1 out of 100 that do make money. So you can't suddenly punish the successful and expect them to kill themselves to write a book, can you?
No, I don't want to punish the successful. I want them to pay their fair share.
So what would a fair share be? What percent should we be paying?
Well, I can't actually say what a fair share for a super rich.
My federal tax in my case is, I think, 37%. My state tax is around 9 or 10%. Is that enough, or should I pay more?
No. But what about the people...
Well, I don't know, no. You mean I shouldn't pay more, or I should pay more?
What about the 1% who are making...
That's another story. I don't know who they are. But when I read that General Electric earned $5 billion in the U.S. and paid no taxes because they hired former IRS agents, it frosts me, as it should frost you, Kevin. And now you have to ask yourself, how did they get away with it? Who is Obama's number one corporate friend? Is it not Jeffrey Immelt? Jeffrey Immelt is his job czar. How do you feel about Jeff Immelt closing down a 115-year-old X-ray plant in Wisconsin and sending it to Shanghai, China? Is that something that should be allowed? I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but if you...
No, I think that the government should stop Jeffrey Immelt from having the authority to ship a factory that he had nothing to do with building. Before this guy was a glint in his grandfather's eye, that corporation had an X-ray plant in Wisconsin. Where does he get the nerve to send that plant to Shanghai, China? It's like the enemy within, for God's sakes.
Well, again, our government actually gives tax breaks to companies that send jobs overseas, so they are waving the flag of America.
You see, at the end of the day, those in the lower middle class like yourself and I, who came from a lower middle class background and worked my way out of poverty, basically, really see the world the same way. We don't really see the world in a different way. I pay my fair share of taxes. I create jobs through what I do. But I really don't want to pay any more taxes because I will quit. I will simply not pay another dime in taxes. I'm taxed to death.
Savage.